It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the United Reformed Church of Linden, and again, we continue a study in a book of Romans, Romans chapter 16 this week, Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. And I want to read those verses as we interact with them this week and look at this important section on unity in the body of Christ and how much attention the apostles and the Lord gave to this great subject to protect the body, that it might grow together in its love and in its unity. This is what we read in Romans 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Boy, that's just a mouthful, isn't it? In verse 16, at the end of this section here of names in Romans chapter 16, the church in Rome was given a call to greet one another with a holy kiss. That was the way you expressed deep, affectionate greeting in the East. And what Paul was essentially concerned about, there was a deep and profound love and unity a church is to have if it's going to be effective in its witness and maintain what Jesus said. By this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Boy, that was a big issue, wasn't it? A big issue with all the biblical writers about what it means to be a member of Christ's church, that if we are to reflect and seek after this kind of unity, why? Well, because what we confess as Christians, we have three sworn enemies: the world, the devil, and our own flesh. Three enemies. And if you know your own flesh, well, you know it doesn't take much to derail you as you find yourself constantly walking away from the Lord. And think about the magnitude of possible disruption in the body of Christ if we have a war in our own members, and then the devil himself is working on us with an army of angels to disrupt and to destroy, divide and conquer. Apart from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we don't stand a chance. Now think about this. If the Lord Jesus himself told us that the defining mark of who we are is our love for one another, as Christians, where do you think the devil will attack? Boy, that's just a great question. Where do you think our own flesh will attack? And in what sort of church will the devil be most active to destroy that defining mark of love? Well, it's not hard to figure out. How do you come to know the love of Jesus Christ? How do you come to know it? Well, everyone knows that it's in the preaching of the gospel. That's what Paul has been maintaining. It's in the Word of God. As that is revealed and opened in the proclamation, we have that love announced to us. And a church that is committed to preaching the Word in season and out of season, in other words, a church that is committed to the truth, and I mean seriously committed to the truth, will be the greatest focal point of the devil to do all he can to disrupt what is happening. The church that is committed to Christ and His gospel and advancing the members in the truth is the greatest threat to the devil's kingdom, because that is where the Spirit is most effective in the hearts and the lives of the people. And when I see what Paul's doing here, things are really clear, because he gives out of nowhere a sudden warning right out of one of the most tender statements of embrace and love in the church: greet one another with a holy kiss. It's as if he's saying, I'm confident concerning your love for the truth. You've heard the truth. You are justified by faith. There's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. And now I'm confident concerning you that, remember what he said, that you're filled with all goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish. in the life of the church. Those are wonderful qualities, aren't they? He says, I know when I come to you, we will be refreshed together. He thought a lot about this church and its witness in Rome. Look at the letter that he sent to them. Romans is the favorite book of many. Greet one another, he says, with a holy kiss. Preserve your unity because you have a beautiful thing. Boy, that's just a cry to all Christians today. Preserve your unity because you have a beautiful thing. But you need to understand something. A church that is committed to the truth, which of course spills over, is producing a love by which all will know you're my disciples. A church like that, things are happening behind the scenes. This is so important we get this week. You have to understand this, the apostle's saying. And so I've instructed you this week, and I'm going to look at three sort of questions in this text. What is the problem? Who are they? And what do we do to deal with it? I want to start with the question today, what is the problem? Listen to what Paul says in Romans 16, beginning at verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those among you who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Now, essentially, he said, you must understand what's going on. I want you to notice carefully those who are causing divisions and literally stumbling blocks contrary to what you have learned. The word for division here means disunity or division within a community. Then he connects it with scandala, from where we get the word scandal. It means something that is put before others in the life of the church to make them stumble. Now, what then is this? What is the apostle talking about? Well, there are a lot of things that come up in the life of the church, right? Every church member knows this. And if you're an unbeliever today and you've probably seen bickering and fighting, this happens. There are petty things. For instance, Paul warned in 2 Timothy 2:23, refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. There will be quarreling in the life of the church, and some of it is just over very stupid things, and the Lord comes to us, and what he says basically is stop it. We've seen this over the years. Everyone has an opinion on this and that. You get a lot of people together, there will be petty quarreling, and the Bible always comes and it just says knock it off. This is not for upbuilding. That's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 16. Paul is referencing something here that is much more dangerous than we would ever like to think. Notice what he connects the divisions and offenses to. He says, whoever is doing this is doing it contrary to the doctrine, the didaskein, the teaching which you've received. You hear what he just said? This is so important. The greatest attack and division in the life of the church is an attack by those who challenge and undermine the teaching that they are receiving, the faithful teaching of the word. Now, what this means is that the greatest offense, the greatest attack the devil uses on the church is when he can produce in someone a heart that attacks God's truth. Well, there have been numerous examples of this. Christians have done this. Believers have done this. Remember, Peter did this when the Lord Jesus outlined his direction and where he was going to the cross to pay for sin. And Peter took him aside and rebuked him, remember? In a sense, he challenged and undermined the teaching. And Jesus, of course, responded very sharply, "Get behind me, Satan." Whoa, you know, that's a strong indictment. And the Lord would come back and graciously restore Peter. We know that at the end of the book of John. But the Lord is really saying to us here, I want you to understand that this is your greatest threat in the life of the church. And this can happen in a few different ways. Paul warned the Ephesians, and you can't help but bring this passage into this discussion. Paul warned the Ephesians with tears for 3 years. Why? Well, because savage wolves, he said, will come in not sparing the flock. Okay, they'll come in from the outside, but then he said something really jolting. And also from among yourselves, from in the church, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. It always seems to go in cycles, doesn't it? Any pastor or church leader knows this. It goes in cycles. Now, that was directly, of course, taken from Jesus' words that outwardly, these wolves look nice, but inwardly they are ravenous. And essentially, Paul's saying, you have to understand your unity is under attack. And Paul's giving a pastoral plea here in Romans 16. It's sort of a pastoral plea. It's affectionate. I urge you, brethren, to recognize this problem. This is not easy stuff to teach, by the way. But Paul knows that it's the most beneficial thing for the church to understand this. So what does it tell you if he has to make this urgent plea? Some are going to shrug it off. Come on, here we go with this again. And what this tells you is that we have the great propensity to overlook this problem, to not understand how damaging this is in the life of the church, but even to not want to admit that it happens in every church, in our church. Now, you could rightly ask yourself this question. Wherever church you're a part of today, if your minister's faithfully preaching the law and the gospel, if your elders are shepherding with care and overseeing that word, you could ask this question. Do we consider ourselves a people who love the truth? Well, of course. If we can answer affirmatively to that, saying the whole truth and nothing but the truth, the good and the bad, the easy and the difficult, the hard stuff and the comforting, the law and the gospel, then part of what comes with that will be agents of Satan who will seek to disrupt what we have come to unite our hearts around, and that is the Word of God. Every major epistle, every major letter dealt with this. Why should this be so important to us? Why do these warnings have to be given? Because you need to know, if you are a lover of the truth, you're going to be attacked. And people in the pew need to understand that when there are people in the church undermining the advancement of the Word of God, the truth of God, they are destroying the very thing that Christ said is the basis and witness of our unity. By your love, remember, men will know that you are my disciples. That is our witness. And when this sort of thing happens in the life of the church, it destroys the very design that Christ gave. And the Lord's warning us. Christ will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. But let us give ourselves to the truth, zealous for the truth, giving hearing ears to the truth, not giving any heed to the devil to disrupt this beautiful unity that is given to us in the church of Jesus Christ.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.